And on the KSRO live line with us is the Vice Mayor of Santa Rosa, Chris Rogers. Morning, Chris.
Morning, Pat. How you doing?
Well, you know, I'm okay. I mean, it's just sort of with all of this, you know, going on again for others, it's just a heartbreaking wildfire situation. And man, bring on the rain. That's how I feel. Just bring on the rain.
Yeah, Pat, I had a talk earlier this week with the assembly member who represents Butte County and who represents Paradise, and was walking him through really what he should expect over the next week, the next month, the next 6 months, and the next year.
Yeah.
And he sort of paused me when we got to about a month in, and he said, well, Santa Rosa lost 5% of its 5% of its housing stock, and you're having budget issues. How do you come back when you've lost 90% of your town?
Yeah.
I had no words for him, Pat.
There aren't any. There just aren't any. You know, as bad as it was here, and it was bad, it's just inconceivable to try to think. Even the people who are evacuated, for at least the vast majority of us here, over 100,000, most of us had homes to go back to, and they don't even have a town to go back to. So
That's right. We're focused on rebuilding 3,000 homes, and at least the infrastructure that we had in the city was by and large able to sustain that.
Yeah.
In a town where you've lost 90% of your homes, how do you have infrastructure? How do you have water for folks to rebuild?
Yeah, septic situations. It's going to be starting from literal scratch for them.
Yep.
And I know that you know, as you said, Chris, over time, that the lessons that we've learned so far will come in handy for the folks up there. And it's certainly understandable that they're just not there yet. We got to get the fire out first. So
yeah, I'll tell you, we just had released the CDBGDR, Community Development Block Grant Disaster Recovery Plan, released from the state. One of the things that I told the assembly member is, get your people registered with FEMA.
Yeah.
Because where we're fighting right now is to make sure that every home that was damaged is counted in terms of what the damage for Santa Rosa was. And right now we have been told we had just over 1,000 homes damaged by FEMA, when you and I both know we have 3,000 homes gone.
Yeah, yeah. So those details are imperative in terms of, you know, any kind of recovery, and certainly recovery on an individual basis, let alone the entire city. So you're right. Those are the steering, you know, steerings that are going to be important for us to be able to impart our experience on that county. And gosh, our heart just breaks for them. Special meeting for the Santa Rosa City Council yesterday. Was it all about pot?
So it was the subcommittee on cannabis, Pat.
Okay.
Everybody's favorite topic as we move forward. What we have been doing is, there are buffers created in the city's ordinance that prevent cannabis facilities from being close to certain facilities like schools and parks and whatnot. But in this case, most importantly, other cannabis facilities. And given that there's a shotgun start to the industry, how do we determine when they're too close together, who moves forward in the permit process? And rather than making it first come, first serve, we made it a merit-based system. And that's created some conflicts, where we've had literally five proposals within 600 feet of one another.
Wow.
And we have to go through and determine who is going to move forward. It's been quite a process, Pat.
Yeah, and it's a continual learning experience there, and obviously the concerns on both sides are understandable, and you know, we're still here in that stage with cannabis where we, most of us, accept its presence, accept the legalization of it. That's okay until you get down to the particulars. Did you hear what happened in Napa this week with regard to cannabis?
I did not, Pat. What happened?
Well, apparently the city council there voted, or it might have been the Board of Supervisors, I'm not sure, and voted to, well, for, you know, overall, the bottom line is, let's keep that business out of Napa, because for the most part, because the wine thing for us is going really well, and Napa's place in the tourism world is well established, and let's not mess with that. So let's not integrate cannabis into this equation, as or at least as little as possible.
Well, what's really interesting with that, Pat, and we do have a couple of cities in Sonoma County who have done the same thing. Windsor and Runner Park, I know in particular, have voted to ban cannabis production and dispensaries in their cities. What you cannot do under state law and under what voters passed is ban individuals from growing in their backyard or in their,
right,
in their home. You have to give them an option to do one or the other. And so what you're ending up doing in a lot of these places is continuing to keep sort of this gray market in place where folks are growing legally in their home and giving it to their friends or selling it or whatever have you, as opposed to having a fully regulated marketplace in Santa Rosa that allows people to come out of the shadows and be a part of actual laws and safety that we need
and taxes
to help put out the black market.
Yeah.
So it's a different approach, I suppose, Pat.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I had a chance to sit down with high school students, do community office hours with them a couple of weeks ago. And one of the questions that I asked them point blank was, when you get access to tobacco and cannabis, where are you getting it from? And the answer wasn't from dispensaries or legal operating facilities. The answer was eBay, Pat.
eBay. I thought they were going to say just friends, you know, getting it from friends. eBay.
I'm sure there's a lot of that, too. Illegal grows in their neighborhood and hopping the fence or whatever have you. But when it came to vape pens for cannabis and for tobacco and the product that goes in it, the answer was eBay.
Well, that's a new one on me, Chris. That's a new one on me.
Me too, Pat.
Yeah.
I would have never thought to.
Well, you know, any port in the storm, I'm sure, is still true when it comes to marijuana. Can we talk about some really good news?
Absolutely, Pat.
I was pretty excited about this. It seems like a small thing, and yet it makes me want to get in the holiday spirit a little bit easier. And that is free parking downtown for the holidays.
That's right, Pat. We're going to be doing free parking in the garages from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock p.m. every weekday, and then all day Saturday and all day Sunday. So if you are interested in coming down for one of the many programs in the square or to do a little shopping or a little bit of drinking, you've got free parking downtown. Just make sure you don't go overboard and drink and drive.
Well, I'll tell you, even, you know, we often, and you're there too, we often have events that go on in the square. And so I park in the parking garages, and usually by the time I get back, I'm like, hey, that's a hefty parking ticket that I've got here. So I think it's very good for downtown businesses. And as we continue, like we did last year, to encourage people to buy local this year, very important for our economy too.
Yeah, and I think what you're seeing is a council that is not wed to past decisions and willing to try something new. I will give you sort of a caveat, Pat, and that's that the primary reason for paid parking is not to make money for the city. In fact, when it comes to infrastructure and what we're making in parking, we actually don't make an exorbitant amount, I think a little bit of a surplus, but really to make sure that folks who are coming downtown can find a place to park. Because what's going to impact businesses even more than the paid parking is if somebody is circling looking for a parking spot, can't find one, and says, you know what, forget it, I'm going home. And so I'm really interested to see with this experiment what the impact is on the downtown restaurants, if their employees are taking up the parking spaces, or if folks are spilling out into the streets from the garages and taking up those parking spaces, and then none of us can find a place to park.
Yeah, that will be interesting. When does the free parking start?
It'll start actually with the tree lighting ceremony.
Oh, winter lights.
In the square the day after Thanksgiving.
That's perfect timing.
It'll run through the year.
Perfect timing. And another bright spot. Let's just talk for a moment, if we can, about Dr. Michelle Rogers. It was a big week for the woman who happens to be your mom also.
You know, it is. And we've oftentimes joked that the Early Learning Institute, which is the nonprofit that she helped found 20 years ago and has been running ever since, is like a sibling to me and my brothers, because That's where a lot of the attention goes growing up.
All right, we got about 20 seconds to talk about your mom, so go for it.
She's just amazing, Pat, and she does such great work in the community. It has been such a good example for me and my brothers, and it was really nice to see the city of Runner Park recognize her for that 20 years of dedication to children.
Apparently, the public service nut doesn't fall far from the tree. Congratulations to your mom. And Chris, good to talk to you. We'll check in with you right before Thanksgiving.
Sounds good.
All right. Take care, Pat. That is Santa Rosa Vice Mayor Chris Rogers on KSRO.